Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is going to be episode 27, and this should have been Friday's episode, but unfortunately I had to take my son to the emergency room last night, and so I'm actually doing this on Saturday. So if you're downloading this a day late, that is why. And usually I try to get things out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but unfortunately I was not able to do that this time. So anyway, this is going to be episode 27, and what this is on is starting a family business, walking through some of the ideas that you should be thinking about, some of the ways in which you can address this so that you can get started on the right track. And some of you probably may be already into business. Some of you may be thinking about trying to start a family business. I've mentioned some of the benefits of that in earlier episodes, and so this is going to be kind of a continuation of those. I believe it's one of the best ways that you can build a family legacy is through a family business. So, but before we do that, I want to direct you to some of the news and updates. First of all, continue to follow us at the website. That's where you can find all the most up-to-date information, as well as some of the other things that we have on there. And so you can reach us at www.thelegacypodcast.com. And then also follow us on Facebook and also Twitter. We have a Twitter account now. I don't do a lot of tweeting yet, but you can follow us on there, and then that will be able to give you some up-to-date information. And as things come out, I will be sure to let you know. And so you can follow us on Twitter. Just look for us at Legacy Podcast without the D. And then also, you want to register as a member, you can do that in the top right corner of the show or on the website, and that will enable you to have access to our members-only section, which is going to continue to increase in value. Right now, there's only a couple items on there, but nonetheless, those items themselves are valuable if you're into gardening or if you want to get out of debt. I've got some information for you on that. And then also, you want to make sure that you provide us with feedback. If you would, that would be greatly appreciated. You can do that in three ways. You can do that through the show notes at each, comment on each of those, or you can comment through iTunes, or you can provide a comment directly to me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, steve@thelegacypodcast.com. And that would be great if you would let me know what shows you've appreciated, what shows you haven't appreciated, what things you'd like to hear more of. Give me just some general comments, whatever it might be. That would enable me to help know how better to increase the value to you, the listener. And so my goal here is to help you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance, and I can't really tell how I'm doing on that unless you give me some feedback, so I'd appreciate the feedback. Well, that just about takes care of the business section for today. And so let's go ahead and talk about a family business. First, what I want to do is just ask why it's important to start a family business. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one is a family business will provide you with a lot more freedom than being able to, work at a corporation or a company of somebody else's. You have your own hours that you can set. In other words, you can work your own schedule. You can take your time off when you want to take time off. It reminds me of 2008. I was able to build my own house here on the homestead. And the reason I was able to do that is because I had time available because I worked for myself. Now, I wasn't able to build it every day of the week, but I was able to build it, a couple days a week and, sometimes more than that. And I had a flexible schedule. I didn't have to ask my boss to take time off because I was my boss. And so there was a great benefit in that. I couldn't imagine the way that my mind works and the way that my makeup is, I couldn't imagine having to ask a boss or an employer to get time off to, because you had to get early to a baseball game of one of your kids, or because one of your kids was sick, or they had a special recital, or, something like that. And that's what happens. Kids have these things, and the parents have to ask for time off because they work for an employer. Whereas when you yourself are the employer and you work for yourself, you then are able to set your own schedule and take time off like that. And so that gives you a great deal of freedom. Second reason is that it gives you more opportunity to disciple your kids. When you go off to a corporation and you work for somebody else, they kind of frown upon you bringing your kids to work. And you may have a job where it'd be great for you to be able to disciple your kids, but because you work for somebody else, you don't have that opportunity because it's just not conducive environment. Now, there may be rare exceptions where your corporation or your company will allow you to bring your kids to work, or, sometimes they have these, go to work with dad days or go to work with mom days or whatever it might be. But That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to work with them on a regular basis, show them how it works, have them do some of the work and disciple them in a skill. And when you have a family business, it allows you to do that much more so than working elsewhere. It trains them in a skill because, you know, let me go back to Jewish days, back in biblical times. One of the important aspects of raising children was providing them with a trade. And if a father didn't provide them with a trade, he was not considered to have raised them very well. And, you know, in our culture now, we just assume they're going to go off to school and get some kind of degree and start a career. But how much better would it be if fathers could train them in a skill and train them in a something that they could use? You know, we have a lot of kids now who are graduating from college and they're not able to find jobs, and so they just hang around waiting for someone to hire them. Whereas if they had been trained in a skill by their dad at work, they would be able to use that skill and start their own business or at least earn some extra money while they're waiting for their career dream job or whatever it might be. And so, you know, it helps them start a skill or start a trade. And then another reason is that you can have more influence when you own your own business. In other words, when you work for somebody else, it's their deal. It's their business. They're building themselves, their brand, and they are building their business the way they want it to be built. And so your influence over that, you know, you can have some influence over it, but it's not going to be to the extent that you can have when you have your own business. And so when you have your own business, you can operate it the way that you want under biblical principles and biblical standards. You can build your own brand, and by doing that, you can really see an impact upon the way in which you have an influence. And then finally, another reason why you want to start a family business is it's more profitable. And for this, I wanted to direct you to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. And in that proverb, it says that where there is no oxen, the stall is clean, but much increase comes from the strength of the ox. In other words, sometimes it's an easier life to just be an employee, to not have the asset of a business, to just go and to work for somebody else, to have the stalls clean, so to speak. But it also says that there's much increase that comes from the strength of an ox. And so, you know, I liken that to a business. The ox is like a business. It's an asset you've purchased, assets you've grown up, whatever it might be. And that brings you a great deal of increase. You can make a lot more money working for yourself than you can for somebody else. And, you know, it really makes you responsible because you get paid what you're worth. Whereas you'll never get paid what you're worth in a business. And the reason why you can't get paid what you're worth working for someone else is they have to make a profit on your work. Otherwise, there would be no sense in hiring you. And so if you work for somebody else, a portion of your effort, a portion of your labor, a portion of your talent, a portion of your skills, whatever it might be, is going to pay for overhead, is going to pay for the company itself and for profits to that company. And so you can be much more profitable. You can take 100% of the profit, so to speak, by working for yourself. So it's usually more profitable. So what kind of business should you start? Those are some of the reasons why it's important to have a family business, but let me now walk you through some things to consider when you look at what kind of business you want to start. And one of the things that you want to do is you want to evaluate your passion. I believe it's important to operate within your passion. Now, you can do a business that is just a need that you see in the marketplace, and it may not be your passion. But for you to really love your business and to be able to build a legacy with your business, it's going to be hard to do that. And so I really believe you should operate within your passion. And so, you know, with the internet today, you can start a business about just about anything that you have a passion for. If you like snow skiing, there's businesses you can start around snow skiing online. If you like basket weaving, or 1957 Ford Mustangs, whatever it might be, whatever thing it is that really gets you excited, whatever your passion is, you can start a business in that area. Now, I've started 4 businesses. 2 of them I know are within my passion, and 2 of them, actually probably 3 of them are within my passion. One of them was just done because I needed some money and I needed to be able to build a business, and so I started that on those grounds. And yet I enjoy it, but most of them are along my lines of passion. And so it makes me desire to go to work, and I like doing that. So what is it that gets you excited every day to get up and to go and to build, and you'd be able to work on it 10, 15 hours a day if you wanted to, and I'm not saying you have to, but something that you would want to do. And whatever that is, that should be the area that you focus when it comes to your business. And then the second thing you want to do is you want to evaluate your resources. For example, if you don't have a lot of money, then you're not going to be able to buy a McDonald's franchise and become a McDonald's franchisor. That just makes sense. You're not going to be able to buy a Taco Bell or a Subway or, be a business owner in that way. Nor are you going to be able to, start right off on a company, the manufacturing company or, whatever it might be, because it's cost prohibitive because you don't have that asset, that resource, which is money. Now, you may be one of those who has a lot of time, though, and not a lot of money. If that's the case, then you can, put a lot of time into it and not a lot of money. If you're working 60 hours a week at your current job, you're not going to be able to put 20 more into a side business. And so for you, time is not a resource, and you need to be able to find some other way of doing that, whether it be hiring somebody or training somebody or, working into a turnkey system or something like that. So you need to evaluate your time, your resources in terms of money. If you have more time than money, consider what needs to be done and what needs more time than money, and then get running doing that. When I started my window cleaning business, I had very little money and lots of time. So I was able to go door to door to businesses, and I got a lot of rejections, spent a lot of time doing that, but I was able to build my business doing that on very, very low cost because it was all footwork, so to speak, and I had more time than money. So those are some considerations there. Also, you want to consider your health. In other words, if you're frail, if you've got, back problems, you're obese, you've got heart problems, whatever it is, you're not going to do very well in a farming business, or you're not going to do very well in a landscaping business or something that requires a lot of physical labor. And so you need to consider that as well. And then you also need to consider and evaluate your technology and your ability to use technology. If you've never been online, an online business is probably not going to be for you, unless you, quickly learn that and take some classes or, really start to grow in that area. If you were already blogging, well, that could be a resource. You could turn that blog into some kind of monetary system. If you already are on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these other channels, then you have a knowledge of some marketing skills and some marketing areas that could be an advantage to you. And so you need to consider what technology you have familiarity with and be able to use that. Another area you need to consider and evaluate is whether or not you're a people person. If you're drained easily by being around people, well, you're not going to be very good at a wedding coordinator, for example. On the other hand, if you're invigorated by being around people, then, you're not, or if you're not invigorated by being around people, then you're not going to want to be a writer. And so, there are some ways you can look at that and look at your personality and see whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, and how that relates to being around people and crowds and consider that. And then also you want to consider your location. If you're out in the country and your closest neighbor is 10 miles away, well, you're not going to do very good selling door to door. I mean, that just makes common sense. And so you need to look at that. On the other hand, if you live in the city, well, it's going to be really hard for you to be a family farm. And so you need to take into consideration your location as well. So evaluate your resources. The third thing is you want to evaluate your goals. In other words, what is it that you want from your family business? Is it that you want to work from home, or do you want to work from an office? Now, some people say, well, I'd love to work from home. Other people say, I couldn't work from home. That would drive me crazy. I wouldn't have the discipline. I need to be able to go to an office. So you need to consider that in your evaluation of what kind of business that you want to do. That can determine the kind of business that you want to get into. Do you want to go to where the customer is, or do you want the customer to come to you? That's another aspect of, working from home or working from an office or going to see the customer, that kind of thing. You want to evaluate what your goal is in the business. How do you want it to be set up in that regard? And then also in terms of evaluating goal, you want to evaluate whether it is that you want more freedom or whether you want more money or whether you want both. Usually with a business, You can work less hours for the same money you're working now for somebody else, or you can make more money by working the same hours. And so do you want to work 40 hours a week and get paid more than what you're currently being paid at the corporation? Or do you want to work 20 hours a week and get paid the same amount and have more freedom and time? And so that's something you want to evaluate as well. You also want to evaluate when it comes to goals is whether or not you want residual income or whether you want active income. Now, the difference between residual income, of course, residual income is income that comes in whether you're working or not. Active income, of course, is what you would get if you work on an hourly salary or something like that. A professional would get active income. That means that they get paid based upon the amount of work time-wise that they put into it. And so you have to consider whether or not you want residual income or whether you want to be able to work for your income. And by doing that, that will help you evaluate what kind of business that you want to be in. If you want to be a coach and love coaching people, there's not a lot of residual opportunity there. However, if you want to have an online store that is automated, then, well, there's a lot of opportunity there for residual income. And so that you have to determine what you want from your business and then set your business up in that regard. So here's another question. You have to ask yourself whether or not you want employees. Now, employees can go back to that whole idea of having that oxen where the stall is clean if you don't have them, but if you do have them, there's much increase in them. And so you have to determine whether or not you want to be able to have employees. And if you do, you need to prepare for that. Are you wanting to be a one-man show? Well, then you're going to be limited in growth to some extent because you can only do what you can do. Now, this can be mitigated somewhat by, subcontracting things out or maybe by doing internet stuff where you can reach a lot of people with your website. But whatever it is, you need to make evaluation of that. If you want to be an employer, then you have to learn how to manage people and have the skills of leading others and being able to hire and fire and evaluate management and those kinds of things. And so those are all skills you need to evaluate whether or not you have those and then whether or not you really want to be a part of that in your business. And then another way that you need to really look at your business is whether or not it's going to advance the kingdom or how it's going to advance the kingdom. How are you going to be able to make an impact for Christ through your business? Now, obviously, this would mean that there are some businesses that are off limits. Obviously, we don't want to be involved in, dealing drugs. We don't want to be involved in, producing, alcoholic beverages necessarily. We don't, there's some areas, pornography, whatever it might be, there's some things that we don't want to be a part of, obviously. But then, even beyond that, there are some businesses that you can have an impact for Christ, but not to the level that you would if you had another business. One of the reasons why I'm doing Legacy Podcasts is I want to be able to have an impact. I want to be able to reach thousands of people with information and inspiration that would enable them to be able to leave a legacy. And, of course, part of that is leaving a legacy spiritually. And so, I hope to be able to have a great impact. I hope to have a great influence upon the world for Christ. And so, I've chosen this business as a means of doing that. Now, in my window cleaning business, my reach is far limited. And so I'm not able to have that much of an impact. Sure, I can share the gospel with the people that I clean windows for and things like that, but it's not to the same level as I would in other areas. And so what kind of advancement in the kingdom are you going to be able to provide through your business? And then I think probably the last question that you need to ask when it comes to your goals is, what do you want in 1 year, in 5 years, and in 30 years? 1 year is kind of a short-term goal. Where do you want your business to be in a year? 5 years, of course, is kind of mediocre. And most millionaires, by the way, think in blocks of 5 years plus. And so they're always looking 5 years from now, where do I want my business to be? And then I say 30 years there because 30 years, now you begin to leave a legacy. Now you begin to build something that will have an impact on generations to come. Do you want your children to be able to take over the business? Do you want to be able to sell it and give the proceeds away? What is it you want from the business 30 years from now? And then evaluate that. And then the last thing that you want to do, when you talk to people who start a business or, in the secular world or something like that, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll start with this one. But I put this one last because I believe if you put the other ones first, you'll be able to make a better choice when it comes to a business. But this one is evaluate the market. Evaluate the market. In other words, what does the market need or what does the market want? There's really only two areas where you can grow a business, and that is something that people want or something that people need. In other words, you can either improve something that exists or create something new. And so, you know, it may be that, you know, there was McDonald's, right? And then it was doing so well, so then you got Burger King, and you've got Arby's, and you've got all these other fast food restaurants that have taken off after McDonald's. Now, did they create something new? Well, not really. I mean, they just kind of took what McDonald's did and, you know, put some additional food sources or, you know, different branding or whatever it might be and created their own business. And so you can do it that way, where you can take what somebody's already doing and twist it a little bit and make your own business. Or you can do something entirely new. You can be creative and find out what is lacking in the market, what's not there, and then provide that for them. You don't have to create something new, though. You can do it of greater value and provide something, additional resource, that kind of thing. So you can evaluate the market that way. Now, if you found this helpful, if you're on the way to starting your own business, you want to be able to start your own business, I want to encourage you to do one thing, and that is on the side of the website, legacypodcast.com, you will see a link to 48 Days. And that is a business of Dan Miller, and I used his resource about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that, when I began to go into business for myself after being a pastor. And it was fundamentally helpful in helping me to evaluate some of the things that I've gone through here. There's a workbook as well as a page in there called 48 Days to Creative Income, and it walks you through how to be able to start a business. And so I encourage you, if you are on the road to that, if you want to be able to do that, then go to 48 Days Store and purchase the book and the workbook called 48 Days to Creative Income. There's a bunch of other items on there you might want to take a look at too, but that's the one that I would definitely recommend. And hopefully that would be able to help you. And hopefully what I'm able to tell you today would be has been able to help you in getting on track to start a business. And maybe, if not start a business, maybe you've already been in a business, and it can help you to evaluate that as well. So anyway, with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.